of dreams.
Another notch of crazy on the loony belt. Yeah.
Shut the fuck up, Kinzel. I'm talking.
Oh. All right. Everybody, it's time for a brand new episode of Point Banter. Today on the show, comics, comics, and more comics as we cover issues of all new X-Men and Guardians of the Galaxy, The Punisher, Iron Fist, The Living Weapon, and Nightcrawler.
And everyone is so happy this episode.
If only I could control my berserker rage, but it's too much. I'm your host, Richard.
It's true.
My ruby quartz visor helps contain my optic blast. It's Jason.
That's also true.
Accompanied by the stench of brimstone, it's Michael.
Wow.
Well, especially after I eat turkey burgers.
No, especially after you did it.
Well, that's true.
I mean, yeah, it's not my fart bomb.
No, Banff could not control your fart bombs. Could not contain them.
Maybe there should be a thought bubble behind you when you fart that says BAM.
I thought of it.
And still wondering who the hell Cecilia Reyes is, it's Chris.
I really still don't even think I understand her. Why is she there?
Who's Cecilia Reyes?
She's the scientist lady in the Danger Room control room.
Oh, okay.
She's from the 90s.
Yes, she is. Okay.
The late 90s with Maggot.
Yum.
Yes, my favorite era.
Hey everybody, you've heard me talk about it in the last couple of weeks, but please be sure to check out Max Toys and Games. If you get a chance to actually come down to Corbin, Kentucky, be sure to let me know about it, and I'll actually come out and visit you. Kind enough to sponsor us on a lot of our comic book endeavors and reviews for the show. You can follow them on Twitter and Facebook. For both of them, be sure to look them up. They do have great deals and specials. Once again, Max Toys and Games, a big sponsor of Planned Banter. Be sure to check it out.
So, comics. What do you guys want to talk about first?
Punisher.
Really? You don't want to do Punisher last?
Okay, we can do Punisher last.
I mean, I don't know.
Well, if we do Punisher, then I'm spent.
Okay, we'll wait till the end.
You blow your load on Punisher?
Yes.
All right, Iron Fist.
All right.
Iron Fist sucks. What's next?
Iron Fist. Iron Fist, Iron Fist.
Frank Miller's Iron Fist.
Iron Fist. What did you think of this, Michael?
I, in no way, shape, or form, liked it as much as the Brubaker Iron Fist.
Boy, it was really super
it was polar
terrible
opposite.
An idea for Comixology to put Immortal Iron Fist on sale on Friday.
Yeah.
Right after people had read this on Wednesday, because
I really wish that I could have bought that
collection.
Yeah,
like, it's just way fucking pales in comparison. Oh my God.
I mean, I feel like it has some potential. I mean, I don't want to not... Don't roll your eyes at me.
I didn't roll my eyes at you at all. I just
yes, you
Richard.
Did. Okay.
You
I don't know.
See me do shit.
I want to like it, but I don't right now.
God, I
want
to like it. I really do. Like, because I like Iron Fist a lot.
I love Iron Fist.
You know, ever since he showed up in the part 13 of the 14 parts of Maximum Carnage back in, like, 1993, totally fucking ancillary appearance from this character mm-hmm. I'd never heard of in my entire life, but Sal Buscema drew him in a really cool way. But it's weird how a character that has honestly been hyper underutilized in basically after 1979.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, actually, like, the two periods where Iron Fist has appeared a lot were the 70s and, like, the past 10 years.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Like, and even then, like, I don't know. Like, I will say that I am not a Care Andrews fan at all. I think he is terrible. I don't know why people think he is this amazing revelatory force of artistic...
I don't either. The guy took everything from Frank Miller. Like, and that's not a good place to start, but oh my God, everything is just Frank Miller. Every bit of it. Like, everything in this book and anything he does is a complete and direct lift from it. And I just don't get why people don't say it.
You know those 90s issues of Daredevil where they were still trying to do, like, the Frank Miller thing?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But it was still also kind of 90s.
Yes.
Like, that's what this was. It just happened to actually star Iron Fist
instead.
And I don't know. Like, people are saying, like, I don't mind that Danny's not, like, a happy guy in this, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, well, I mind that he's, like, a sexist asshole who's fucking doing drugs. It's weird.
Yeah,
like,
I really don't want to see a drug addict superhero. I'm sorry, guys. I don't think he's the guy to be, too.
Hmm? You didn't get it?
I mean, like, coming from, like, okay, I know who Iron Fist is, and that's about it, but I've never really read anything with Iron Fist.
Okay, the Iron Fist, Ed Brubaker, Matt Fraction run.
I saw that was on sale. I heard when you
like, seriously.
That's pretty much the joint.
It's great.
It's amazing. If you're not a fan of Iron Fist, it'll make you a fan. If you are a fan of Iron Fist, it'll make you, like, it makes me really excited because I really do feel like that's what they're going to make the backbone of the TV show based off of.
I would fucking hope so.
Like, the first issue of that, in comparison to the first issue of this, is night and day.
Night and day different.
Because it's, like, they're trying to completely introduce an entire universe for Iron Fist mm-hmm. and that. And in this, he's completely separated from everything, and he's totally insular and just as one guy amongst...
You know what it reminded me of, like, trying to make Iron Fist into Daredevil a little bit.
Yeah.
And,
I mean...
You don't need to do that.
I just said Frank Miller.
Yeah, I know.
I just... There is one thing that I liked. I liked that... And I don't love it. I like it. Mm-hmm. I think it's an interesting way to visually demonstrate this, was the power of, you know, him using his chi through his fist was enough for his bones to glow in the dark.
Yes.
That was neat.
That was a neat little visual.
That's what they used for, like, the cover of the book. Mm-hmm. Like, they know that's, like, the one thing. Yeah. I don't love it, and honestly, I don't really know if it's ever going to work repeatedly, but at the same time, I also don't know why he couldn't get his powers to work for a second there, and then they worked at the end.
I think because he's a whiny bitch in this book.
Hey, maybe. I mean, I don't know. Like,
and
it's
it
like,
scares me.
Robot ninjas. I'm like, yeah, exactly. I'm with you there, Danny. Robot ninjas. Like, this is
yes.
Like, the thing with me, like, Care Andrews, like, both, and I'm speaking strictly from things that he has written, because his art is a whole different beast that I also think is actually, like, incredibly overrated. Like, his writing has always seemed to me as, like, the most immature bullshit in the world. It is very much like what an 8-year-old thinks is awesome and cool and totally, like, wicked and badass.
Even then, dialogue-wise, it's always, like, some character has to comment on a situation from a viewpoint of a reader that's never read the book. So you got this chick who's just going on and on and on about She completely states everything obvious and thematically obvious about anything happening in the book or to that character in its prime.
Which makes it seem even weirder and more shallow when she just, she's like his fuck stick. It's weird.
She's super exposition city, and there are nothing but characters that exist for that purpose because he can't, like, he only wants to draw things that look cool as opposed to tell a story.
If you want a good origin story for Iron Fist, they've already done it.
Yeah, they've done it like three times.
And they did it amazingly well in Immortal Iron Fist.
They blew up the Rand building in Immortal Iron Fist in that first arc. And I mean, I thought they blew it up as in it was leveled, not that it was like 70 stories tall and just like sitting there
in the background
waiting to be collapsed.
While he's depressed looking at
his money. Look in the window and my reflection looks back at me. And I see my father's eyes staring at me, those madmen's eyes.
He was crazy in the end.
Yeah, like, it's just like...
Like, for me, having, like, very little connection to the character, like, there's nothing in this book that other than, like... No, honestly, there's nothing really that would want to keep me reading this book.
I think, like, and I say I have been frequently surprised as we have gone through these number one issues. Like, I always end up being the person who at least thought it was okay and... With the books everyone hated, I actually ended up liking them the most, even the books I didn't expect to like Moon Knight, which, you know, I'm not saying that I was crazy about Moon Knight or anything, but, you know, I just ended up liking it more than everyone. This is the first one I've hated. I thought it was bad. And
I wanted to like it so bad.
Looking at reviews, people, like, it's got like 8.8, it's got like 4 stars out of 5. It's like, it's been very positively well received, and I'm not... sure where I'll the fuck it. That's coming from, but I also can't find any like reviews from like, you know, like Comics Alliance or Bleeding Cool,
right,
or Comic Book Resources, or
it's the same people who went and watched Superman Man of Steel.
I mean, it could be. I don't know. I'm not going to say it. There was one review I think a comic should be good, and the guy did like it, but I also don't really know a lot about them. So, I mean, I don't know what iFanboy thought, but hell, I don't know if iFanboy's still around.
Yeah, I don't either.
It's been a while. I mean, I don't know. This is like one of those things that, like, it's just not, it wasn't good. Like, and I think that people are kind to it because they like Kara Andrews for some reason. But when you look back through the stuff he's done, I don't
know
why they
do. What do you like about him?
I mean, back in the day, people were like, oh, Spider-Man Reign's really good.
No.
And it's just like, yeah, no one's saying that anymore. Shit, it's been years since I've heard that.
I do remember that first issue people like went nuts about, and then
that
was it.
It's the Dark Knight Returns, but with Spider-Man. That's what I wanted my whole life. You've got a boring fucking life, man.
Yes.
All right, so Iron Fist was a huge disappointment.
God, I thought it was bad.
It was a disappointment for me because
if people can get on like people for John Byrne or whatever for a story written like 35 years ago where, you know, reads like, oh, silly Sue, get back in the kitchen.
Right.
Like, they should be all over fucking Kara Andrews because I have always thought his stuff is extremely sexist.
Oh, yeah.
Like, from, you know, like Mary Jane being helpless and having gotten radiation poisoning from Peter banging her in Spider-Man Reign to, like, just...
I am disgusted by this bitch.
Oh, but I have to.
But I have to fuck her.
And she's like,
because I hate
anything
myself.
You want? I don't care as long as I'm being used. Ah, look at me. I'm nothing.
Oh my God, where'd you get that tattoo? Oh. Written as the most shallow character in the history of the world.
Oh, waiter, can I have another drink? Teehee.
Okay, let's
move on.
Can I
hold it in my bra? Oh my God, can I take off this jacket even more seductively?
Yeah,
let's move on.
Do you need some? Can you not sleep? Let me help you. Oh my God. Oh.
Okay.
Man, I hated it.
Yeah. Oh, man, it's bad.
All right, so...
what are you stopping for?
Because it's bad. Beating a dead horse. Move on. Let's talk about stuff that we like.
All right.
I liked Nightcrawler.
Oh.
Hey, now.
Oh, no.
I like Nightcrawler.
No.
That was the most reader-unfriendly book I have ever seen in my life. What the fuck?
If you know what?
Listen.
If you have no idea,
this book was great for me for someone who basically like just pretends that X-Men history didn't happen from like the fall of the mutants until like I guess Messiah Complex or fucking Dark Genesis.
Yeah.
Second Genesis.
Yeah.
The thing with Vulcan. Like, for someone who just kind of, like, ignores all the shit between there, this was awesome for me. Especially because I was like, oh, hey, they actually remembered Amanda.
Yeah, Day Tripper's back.
Yeah. Like,
and they're going to see her mom.
Yeah, like, I was like, man, this is, like, I'm not
saying.
Can I ask
a question about Nightcrawler?
Yeah, sure, yeah. What's up?
Who was the blonde chick he went to their house? I don't know
that
who that
is. That is his adopted sister.
Yeah, that's Amanda Sefton, it's his adopted sister who was in the circus with him back in Germany.
Yep.
They were adopted by a chick who is a sorceress and who ruled over the dimension that magic gets her powers from.
Yeah, actually, Amanda.
And then Day Tripper did for a while.
Amanda
as well.
Was magic for a while.
Yeah, she was magic too.
Yep.
When I guess Ilyana was still dead or if she ever
but
was
she
dead,
couldn't
I don't know.
Use the soul sword the proper way. And
yeah, I guess magic's like. I guess she was dead and came back because magic used to have a robot arm and now she doesn't.
Yeah.
I don't think.
But,
I say that they kind of had a weird relationship for a brother-sister?
Well, they're adopted.
Oh, dude, she followed, like, when
yeah.
Kurt left to join the X-Men, she assumed this identity of this stewardess or whatever and came here and went after him.
She was kind of a stalker.
Yeah, she was sort of, like, I mean, she'd been in love with him since they were kids or whatever. Which, you know, I guess when you grow up and your mom's a sorceress, like, you don't really care about how he looks. He has not, like, hung around her in ages.
I loved that she showed up, though. I
did,
like,
too. I don't know what
the
fuck's going on.
Well, I didn't even realize
book.
That... I
don't know. That's the problem I have with the book, is, like...
I didn't even realize that Chris Claremont was writing. I was like, holy shit, Chris Claremont.
No, I could tell it's Chris Claremont writing.
Yeah, I mean, the sheer number of caption boxes, I could tell
it's
Chris Claremont.
It's so him.
Yeah, which, back in the day, those would have been thought bubbles.
Yeah,
but that's still my favorite Onion line of all time. Chris Claremont, Professor X, thought bubble scene from space.
I, I enjoyed the hell out of the book, though. I like that, you know, this book seems like...
I think it's certainly one of the more enjoyable books.
I think
it was and I never use this term, and I don't enjoy it this way, but it is what for people would refer to it as a guilty pleasure.
Well,
for me, I don't feel guilty for enjoying
this
it.
This book seems like it's going to deal with Nightcrawler out of the school for the most part, whereas Amazing will deal with him with the team and in the school.
Yeah, it's funny, the solicit for this said that it was going to be him and Wolverine going on a road trip, and that is not what this book is at all.
Okay, I do kind of like, I like the idea that they're at least acknowledging and giving people a visual cue, hey, don't forget Wolverine does not have his healing powers anymore.
Oh, that new costume that I, you know.
It's all right. It's not
bad. It's
kind of
dorky. I don't hate it.
It's armor.
Yeah, it's armor.
Yeah. I mean, it's color. They should have just adapted the evolution outfit because it had armor.
Yeah, they should have, but...
But that would have left his arms exposed.
Yeah. But, you know...
How long are they going to do that, you think?
Probably about another year. There's apparently a story coming up called The Death of Wolverine or something, so he's going to die and come back again.
Yes.
Which, you know, Jason Aaron just did do that, but who cares, whatever. If it's good, it's good. I don't know. I haven't read any of the Cornell Wolverine stuff. I don't hear people talking about it, but I don't hear people talking about a lot of stuff.
Yeah. But it's just, I enjoyed the hell out of it. I do. I was like, you know, I was even sitting here. I was like, I wonder who's going to remember who this is. Like, not us, but, well, I knew Kenzel would have no clue who she was.
Yeah, boy, Chris, this was like, this was basically them dropping you into, like, the middle of the fucking ocean and telling you to swim back to shore.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, I don't really know who the target audience for this book is because it seems like it's the audience that they say that they don't want. Because it's like, oh, well, we want new readers and we don't, you know, necessarily like
it definitely care about does pleasing not feel old
readers. It's a comic made by the worst kind of nerds.
Yeah, it's a comic made by the worst kind of nerds, the continuity obsessed ones or whatever.
It's like he spends half the issue in
recapping everything.
Well, he spends half the issue in that girl's apartment and they don't even say who she is.
Well, they call her Amanda, they just don't say her last name, which is
right,
unfortunate for anyone that wanted to
sister.
Immediately go wiki.
Yeah,
I was like, you need that last name in there, Chris.
Honestly, the time spent with the Wolverine fight at the beginning, which really amounted to zero at this point, could have been spent on a backstory for people. Like, I mean,
well, hey, like,
let's get a refresh on here, guys.
There's a number of devices that Claremont uses to start issues of X-Men.
Oh,
one of them is the baseball
game.
One of them is the danger
fight.
Room. You know?
Yeah, always. And that's why I knew. That's why I was saying I knew this is Claremont thing because the beginning was a Danger Room sequence where he's fighting Wolverine.
Yeah.
And I mean,
Wolverine lost his temper like he did in the old days. Yeah. It's funny.
Yeah. I just, I don't know.
Don't mess with me, kid. Wink.
If only I could control my berserker rage.
I almost wonder if issue two is going to be the big exposition backstory, since they're going to see... I forget. How do you pronounce her mom's name? It's like
I just assumed it was Zardos. Because it's spelled S-Z-A-R-D-O-S. Yeah. So I've always said it Margali's Sarzos.
Yeah. But I figure since they're going there, then you're going to get the whole backstory of, you know, oh, well, she adopted and blah, 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 and you'll get that whole thing. I feel like, you know, oh, Amanda, oh, and she's a witch. Okay, that's cool, you know.
Keep going. I mean, you know, what Amanda's got a costume, so
yeah.
She's obviously going to have powers. But, Frank, there are two things about this. One, as someone who has known for a long time that Claremont's, like, really kind of had his best days as a writer behind him
for
ages.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Ages.
And he was usually teamed up with someone else.
I mean, you know, whatever.
Further the story. I don't know if Todd Nayak's that guy.
I like the art. I like Todd Nayak.
I thought it was okay. I've seen him do much better, though.
I kind of have, too. But his splashes were really good.
This seemed like it was trying to emulate Ed McGinnis. Did anyone else get that?
A little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
I got a little bit of Ron Lim out of it, too. At least in the way he drew Wolverine's mask.
Okay, yeah, okay.
But, for like modern Claremont, this was not bad at all. This is not new Excalibur. This is not whatever the fuck that bizarro thing with what the hell was it called? Like Next Generation X or whatever, like the bizarre thing where they're like Gambit's kids in India.
Oh my God. What was that called?
I don't know, but like, man, you want to talk about continuity heavy shit that like no one understands except super nerds. Like, man, like, I don't even know what the fuck that thing was.
God, Extreme X-Men, too.
Well, Extreme X-Men was just bad. But there's been a lot of really bad Claremont for a long time. And this wasn't bad. I'm not saying it's stellar or anything. And I can't really recommend this book to anyone, like, at all.
Well, unless...
Unless
you're a massive X-Men fan.
Yeah, like, and by a massive X-Men fan, I mean, like, you've read stuff from before Executioner's Song.
Yeah.
Does it not say?
I'll just go to the Comic Find.
I don't know. Anyway, it was enjoyable.
Yeah.
I can't really pimp it for people.
All right. So, Death of Jean Grey? Or Trial of Jean Grey?
Well, Chris, really quick, what did you think about it in total?
Oh, Nightcrawler?
Yeah. Were you just...
It was fine. It was a lot more accessible for me than it was than Iron Fist was. Other than the fact that, you know, like I said, I didn't know some of the people.
who the lady was.
Yeah, who the lady was. I enjoyed it.
I think she's on Evolution for some reason. Yeah, she is. She's a minor character, though.
Who, Daytripper?
Well, Amanda.
Oh, okay.
Amanda and her mom. They're not witches or anything. I think they're just other people.
Yeah.
Normal people.
I enjoyed it from that perspective. So
it was colorful. It was entertaining.
I don't know if it's necessarily like keeping me interested, but it is a first issue, so you got to take a breath there.
There's 12 pages of this.
Oh my God! We'll look it up later. We're not going to be able to find
it by number of issues.
No. Yes. Maybe.
Just go to the very, very end.
Okay.
Wait.
Is it Gen X?
Gen X. That's what
okay,
it is.
Yeah.
I thought that was from Age of Apocalypse.
It might be.
I think it started from...
The thing behind it is that it's, like, the X-Men grew up and became adults ages ago, kind of. It's like a weird pseudo X-Men Forever, but
was
not...
Was it like whenever John Byrne did Generations?
No. I wish it was like Generations. Oh, wow. Whoa. It's a mess. Like, I mean, okay. People have rightfully kind of forgotten about this, including myself.
All right, so Trial of Jean Grey. Trial of Jean Grey.
All new X-Men and Guardians of the Galaxy.
Famously smashed together for... You can guess why.
So, I enjoyed this crossover.
Boy, I thought it was a heap of trash, Mike.
Happy for you.
I enjoyed it. I really did.
There's a lot of negativity in this episode.
Yeah, no, I'm not a fan of this. I don't like it.
You know, for me, I guess I'm kind of down the middle because there were some parts that I did enjoy, but
there were parts I liked.
There, oh yeah, I mean, overall, the mission of the book is there somehow. It's just like, man, that tie-in is so unnecessary, and anything part of the Guardians is like,
The thing with this, guys, is that the Starjammers show up in part 3 of 6, and the second they show up, there's absolutely no fucking point for the Guardians of the Galaxy to even be around, other than where they've shoehorned Star-Lord's dad into glowering at the Galactic Council when they're putting Jean Grey on trial.
I got to pull up a specific line here, because it illustrates your point perfectly, and I thought about it when you said that.
Go ahead. Should we wait?
Just give me a second so you can do whatever you need to do.
Hey, this ran into the same thing that Infinity did, where the cast was so big that not everyone got to do anything.
Yeah.
Like, Chode, the Starjammers are there, and half of them don't talk. I don't even think the Shi'ar guy from Brubaker's Rise and Fall of the Shi'ar Empire, I don't even think he has a line. I don't think he speaks.
Well,
with Sikorsky not talking, the little robot dragonfly thing, I get that.
Yeah.
That's fine if he doesn't talk, because he's kind of like their doctor.
Well, here's the thing,
he's like
though,
their smartphone. Do we need to hear Siri talk?
I feel like we're going to get either a Starjammers book or something.
I don't think we are.
Well, that's going to be the Cyclops book, isn't it?
Presumably.
Oh, yeah, that could be the Cyclops book that What's-His-Face is writing.
Rekka.
Yeah.
So that's batshit bonkers, and I'm way on board.
I can't wait. If that's the case, him going into space and just, Adventures of Space drawn by
But apparently both Cyclopses are in it.
So maybe it flips back and forth between the two.
I guess it could.
But the thing I had the problem, as you mentioned, is that the Starjammers show, there's no reason. The only reason that the Guardians are in there is because Bendis needed to get them in space to be surprised by the Starjammers. That was this entire thing was written just to get him and Corsair near each other. That was it. The only purpose that this served was that. Because otherwise, who gives a fuck about the trial? Really? We're going back again? Holy fuck. Why would anyone care anymore? That's so stupid.
I kind of like her new power.
Dude, I don't even know what the fuck it is.
What is the new power?
She just wraps herself in energy and flies around.
Well, they said that she combined her telekinesis and her telepathy.
I tell you what, if they're
telepathy,
if the goal is to make Jean Grey completely unlikable as a character and as a person, they're doing a great job of it for me.
They kind of are,
because I can't stand her.
I fully agree, but I do like the new power.
But what I do like, and I think is actually,
I can't
bizarre
control
and creepy.
It, Cyclops. It's Quit so being mad at me that I can't control it.
But it's bizarre and creepy.
Oh my god, we've been over this 12 times.
Is Cyclops and what's her face?
X-23?
Love it.
Oh, it's great.
Because it's so creepy and weird and shouldn't happen, and that's exactly how these kind of teenage relationships start.
I kind of like
all the time.
I kind of like the fact that Kitty and Peter are.
I think it's just wacky.
I thought that was the worst part of it.
Why?
So,
here's the part I Star-Lord hated it.
Why?
Because he's fucking using
because
her.
It's
forced as fuck. He's trying
to
make
it. I thought it was very forced.
Because then they had to. That's the only reason that they have to get them together again, because Bendis has to have his universes connect all the time. And they only put that in there just so that there would be a reason for them to come back and there's a connection and a love between galaxies and blah, 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 and whatever.
It's when he keeps, half of Kitty's lines, it seems, are, one half is exposition and the other half is her just saying oi, or oy vey.
Yeah, and I don't like.
Yeah, I don't get that at all.
I'm trust me, no one has forgotten that Kitty is Jewish, guys.
And no one's
like
going to forget.
Thing where, you
oh,
know,
Kitty's
no one
Jewish?
Knew it for
I didn't
sure.
Know that.
Yes. Oh,
you
know.
There
Kitty.
You go.
Well, back in the day, John Byrne used to draw her with a little Star of David necklace.
Yeah.
So, you know. I mean, hell, that's what stopped Magneto one time, was he zapped her when they were fighting, and he's like, oh my god, I've zapped one of my own people.
And I don't know, I mean, you see, I've seen the evolution of Kitty Pryde as a little girl to an adult, and she's turning into, she's very intelligent about her relationships, and she makes different decisions, and she doesn't just go running around with any guy that winks at her. And the first guy that comes along winks at her. She kisses on the cheek and runs away like a little girl. And I thought it was just ridiculous and silly.
She did the toe boost, too.
Yeah, the toe boost, exactly. Specifically from this character that's supposed to be
It was
like
a little too cutesy for me.
She's an authority figure for these kids and the main stars of the book. It's ridiculous to me.
Hey, so,
what's the
one
line?
One of things, at the end of it, when when Jean Grey and Gladiator do their whole big bounce off each other and don't do anything. I mean, it's true. It's what happens.
Someone catches Jean Grey and then Gladiator falls on his butt.
Right. When Cyclops... Actually, I like the part when Cyclops is like, no, if you come back, I'll kill you. I'm like, all right, that's kind of cool. And he goes through this whole big, really good, you know, back and forth Gladiator and Cyclops. And I actually really like that. And then towards the end, and then the other psychic girl says,
Oracle.
No, it's over. And then Peter Quill pops up and says, and the Earth is under our protection. Next time you won't even get it near, get near it. And it's just like, oh yeah, don't forget we're here.
I was in this book
exactly
too.
Hey, me too. That's the whole thing that I felt. I felt like when I saw that, I'm like, oh man, that's just bad. That's just bad.
That's awesome, Chris.
And that's the thing. It's not like there wasn't enough time for them to do things with the characters
exactly.
Because it was six issues long that had two-part ones, which is very hilarious because the first the issue of X-Men is like Trial of Jean Grey part one, and then the first Guardians of the Galaxy is Trial of Jean Grey part one, and then you look,
like, I have no
and then it's part three of five when you go to the next X-Men issue. It's like,
I had to look it up
great.
How to read it.
And then it's part four of six.
Yeah, and then it's part four of six. Like, what the fuck? I mean, whatever. Editing fail. Who cares?
I overall enjoyed it, though. I don't know.
It was. I mean,
it's. Here's the thing. Like,
half the characters aren't even in this. Oh, there was one. Okay, here's one part.
It was a stellar reminder. No pun intended. Bendis has no fucking idea who the Guardians of the Galaxy are.
No, I agree.
Like, Jace said that. What was it that Drax's entire collection of lines is just complimenting other people on their battle skills?
Yeah, exactly. Anything that has to do with
he just tells other people that they're they have cool swords. And
She took out the Shi'ar guard. Well, I would like to meet this girl, or I like the blade you have in your boot. Like,
when he goes, I love your claw boots.
Oh my god!
Like, Jeremy, I purchased such a weapon.
That's the only thing he talks about. That's the only lines he has.
What the fuck does he do, man? Like. I get the strong silent thing, but at the same time, the only time we ever see him interacting physically with another character during the splash pages, and there's a billion fucking two-page spreads in this.
And then don't forget, we get to see Rocket see real raccoons and tell them to put pants on.
Oh, I thought he was talking to Groot.
No, he's talking to raccoons walking out of the forest. Put on some Zarconian pants or whatever, stupid.
I'm not saying that like the
alien insult it is.
Yeah, the made up swearing thing is like a new thing at all.
Yeah,
it's just that Bendis way overuses it. To the point where it becomes like just like such an eye rolling thing. It's like
just,
yes, I get it. Go or what is it, a Gronard or Clatarkian whatever, and I'm just like, oh my god, yes, I know this isn't like, you know,
it's not frack, man, move on.
Yeah, I know this isn't like every other piece of science fiction from like the past 30 years that's not called Star Wars or Star Trek. At the same time, like, they don't do it every 2 seconds.
You're a scruffy-looking nerf herder.
Well, yeah, that's true. But, yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's funny that there was, like, and I said this to Jace earlier, it was like, there's no swearing of any type at all, made up or real in Punisher. But there's, like, every third line of any of the Guardians characters, they have something that's like, ampersand, exclamation point, number sign,
oh, God.
You know, dash, hyphen.
Ugh. Yeah, every time. Even in that cool little speech Cyclops
does.
Like, I'll bring the Atlanteans to kill you, you fucking asshole. Like, oh, come on.
Okay.
Bring that, man.
There was plenty of time to use all the characters they had on the table. It's just they didn't utilize it because they had so many two-page spreads. And they fucking spun their wheels so much. Like, it's just...
That part where like
Cyclops... actual trial is like maybe like
oh no it doesn't
eight
take any
pages
time at
of the entire comic oh. And they put her on the thing twice,
which reminds me there's a point that I have no idea what's happening in it.
Why are there two Smashers?
They're taking her in. Well, there's like a whole group of Smashers. Remember,
well,
there's
okay,
like a whole
not?
Guard of them. But they have her in that little weird bubble, of course, the sci-fi bubble that she gets to walk around.
The one that
in.
Makes the boop sound effect. When they
and they're walking around.
Did you guys notice how many times slice was a sound effect?
And then
or cut. Punch.
They take her in the sci-fi bubble, and they're walking to whatever the trial is going to be at.
Shoulder.
And she she's right next to Gladiator and all of them 1 second, and then the next page, there's no movement, and no one says, we're going to take her. She's outside, and suddenly Oracle's like, oh no, something's happened, and she's escaped from the bubble and ran away. Like, I have no idea what the fuck happened or where she got that from. It is such a glaring issue.
She just got super pissed and managed to break out because
she was right next to them the panel before. And there was...
They went through a door, Jace.
They were all together. It was ridiculous. It was like they missed a whole page.
When I read that, I was like, oh, sweet. The Guardians of the X-Men are here. And it's just like, nope. They're going to go confront them at the junkyard that they landed at.
I must respect this woman.
Yeah.
She took out the Shi'ar Empire. And, oh, God, Angela. Man, this is the first time we've got to read about her in Guardians. What did you guys think of her?
It's very funny that they have a Shi'ar guy with them. And they're like, who do we send to infiltrate the Shi'ar ship? Is that send, like, the crazy space angel chick?
Yes.
That just, like, hilarious. Seems completely fucking pointless next to Gamora.
Will you marry me? No, Rocket.
You're
this
too
is
short. This is Gamora. Oh, well, then I will think about it.
Yeah, you can't tell the difference? You're a dummy. Jesus Christ.
Maybe it was coming out through a Mr. Cian spell. Oh.
What did you guys think of Angela or Angela? What are they going to call her?
Chris, you're the furthest on the outside of this because I will say that really the only people and the only reason that Angela is interesting to anyone is because of legal shit.
Yes.
That's the only reason that this character matters and has ever really mattered. Ever.
Okay, because I don't know who she is. So.
She's a character from Spawn.
Yeah, that Neil Gaiman created.
Oh.
He created an issue of Curse of the Spawn along with a character named Cagliostro, who was like an ancient Spawn, I believe.
Yeah.
Okay.
And well, that was in issue 7.
Issue 7 issue of Spawn 7, yeah. or whatever. And he created the Curse of the Spawn character who was like Night Spawn or whatever.
Night Spawn.
Medieval Spawn.
Back
when Medieval Spawn.
Medieval Spawn, Angela, and Cagliostro.
And because Todd McFarlane for years thought that like he could just... He has a very poor understanding of what
legality
is, which is why he thought he owned Miracle Man for a while.
Well, yeah. Gaiman said he'd give him the characters if McFarlane gave him the rights to Miracle Man.
Turns out they were never his to give.
He never his to give.
Ever.
He didn't own them. He paid money and didn't own them.
Yep.
Smart.
So I wonder who ended up with that money. But either way, like, it's one of the reasons I think that these days we're not hearing much out of Tony Mac, other than that, you know, he just doesn't fucking care to draw anything.
It was the publishing company in England.
Oh, Epic? No, not Epic. No.
He's going to be smart and sit on his money.
I can't
remember. He's going to buy too many baseballs.
Yeah, not anymore.
Well, you did see, though, that they're finally getting ready to bring out all the reprints and stuff now.
Yeah, where they're going to just they finally accepted that no one is going to buy, like, single-issue reprints of Marvel Man starting from 1950. Yeah.
Oh, my God, I know. What a bunch of dummies.
Like, guys, like, you have to get this shit out while it's hot and people remember it even happened.
They're so
like, they
stupid.
Got the rights 6 years ago,
God,
I think.
God, they are so stupid about this. They're so fucking stupid about it. Just put out the shit that people want to read.
Yeah, just put out the Alan Moore omnibus.
Like, everyone likes... Okay.
And sell a billion copies.
Yeah, everyone loves it. Okay, that's fine. Just put the stuff out people want to read. Don't be stupid. Make money.
Who was it? Alan Moore, Neil Gaiman, and who was the third?
That was it.
Chuck Austin was the artist.
Yeah, but I thought there was one
Mark
other...
Mark Buckingham.
I thought there was one other writer that had worked on that.
I don't know.
I don't think so, because I thought Neil Gaiman's was the last one, and they didn't print the last of his thing, and that was the whole deal.
Yeah.
But either way, he has the rights to Angela back, and because he's, like, friends with Joe Quesada and whatever, he was like, oh, use Angela, because I own her now. Which I don't know if that's just, like, a big middle finger to McFarlane... Or what, really? But she's in Guardians now, and that was the ending of Age of Ultron. That was the big reveal of this character entering the universe, which ironically, everyone thought it was going to be Miracle Man. And then it turned out to be Angela, which I'm glad it wasn't Miracle Man, because please keep that shit separate. Like, I don't need to see Rorschach hanging out with Batman. I don't need to see...
No, now I have to, that you said it.
No.
Oh my God.
I don't need to see Alan Quartermain from League of Extraordinary Gentlemen... chilling with Superman. Like, I just don't. I'm fine with it. Whatever. Okay? I don't need another Superman-esque character in the Marvel Universe because they already don't know what to do with the ones they have.
Like Blue Adam or what's his name?
Oh, you mean Blue Marvel?
Blue Marvel, yeah.
Eh. I don't really know what Blue Marvel's deal is. I'm not super familiar with him, but he was a character that I thought started outside of the universe and now they've brought in, but maybe he was always in it.
I think he was always in it, because I swear I think whenever I read that Blue Marvel miniseries that
Adam
introduced him,
the Blue Marvel,
it had Roxxon in it.
Maybe it does. I don't know. I'm really super not familiar with him at all.
So, other than Punisher, what other books were we supposed to?
It was just Punisher.
All New 25.
Oh, All New 25. Yeah.
Holy shit! What up?
Okay, like.
Oh my god.
I didn't think Trial of Jean Grey was great. I didn't think it was terrible. I thought it was. Trial of Jean Grey was very much what I expected All New X-Men to be from when I opened the first page of the issue. It was just more Bendis bullshit where he has like cutesy captions about. Oh, well, let's just be honest. It's a week from now or something, you know.
Okay.
60 Clartarks later, or a week, giggle. Like that
Clartarks.
Shit. Like, I have been waiting for, like, for the other shoe to drop, and I'm desperately terrified it is. Not because of Trial of Jean Grey, but because of this anniversary issue. Which was, like, I mean, no exaggeration, this is perhaps one of the absolute worst comics I've ever read in my entire life. And I say that as someone who has read a lot of comics and a lot of comics that are not good. It is bad, and it is the worst type of bad. Because while it's cool to see a bunch of like different artists do like cool jam pieces for this cool anniversary issue with its cool art, like
it's not an anniversary issue. They made 25 issues.
Like, well, presumably it's like, you know, like the 50th anniversary of the original X-Men coming up soon. I know it's Daredevil's 50th anniversary and Peter's 50th anniversary was 2 years ago, so. Or 60th.
60th.
So Daredevil's 60th is coming up, and so it's like, you know, whatever.
Well, no,
I don't
Daredevil's
know.
50 this year, because Batman's 75, and
Superman was
75 blah.
Last year, and they celebrated with Man of Steel. Yeah, I mean, you know, whatever.
I guess it would have been Peter's 50th then.
Yeah. 1964. Yeah. Or 1963, 62. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Or wait.
So X-Men was 64. That's just this year.
Oh, well, then I guess it went by. Or wait, no, it didn't. Yeah, because it's 2014.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, I don't know why this wasn't just a book of pinups instead of like something with a lazily like generated narrative device to connect
Holy
a bunch
shit.
Of non sequitur pinups. That's just like, hey, J. Scott Campbell, draw a Nightcrawler in a space suit or whatever the fuck you feel
hey,
like.
Let me
and he's
cover
like,
your
okay.
name.
That's true. I love that they put a caption box over his name.
That was incredible.
Over his signature. That was so great.
That was incredible.
And he was the only guy that had his signature on any of the art because I went back and checked.
September 63, so it was last year.
Like, that was Battle of the Atom. That's what that was meant to be for.
Yeah.
There we go.
Michael, did you like this one?
No.
Smart, even if you did.
I did not like it.
No, I will tell you. It's nothing. It means nothing, and it is nothing.
Other than the fact that they keep, I'm dying. Let me know that what I did is not a mistake.
I thought it was like
Beasts of Christmas Carol. The ghost.
Okay. Really Brian Michael Bendis, is. If you kill Blue Beast, I'll kill you.
I'm
just playing.
I don't know, man.
I just think it's stupid that they're going
to
kill Blue Beast.
You like how they completely drew him to be Xavier the whole time?
Oh, and then the reveal was that it was
the Watcher.
Because like the Watcher has frequently taken on the appearance of like a normal human.
Oh, well,
what a stupid fucking bait and switch. Fuck you.
They've also, well, you know who I thought it was? I thought it was Cassandra.
You know, I actually suspected that's who it was going to turn out to because I'm like, it's obviously not going to be Xavier.
Right.
So it's just going to be Cassandra Nova.
Well, yeah, because his brain's off somewhere.
And then, like, nope, it's the Watcher. And it's just like, I despise you, Beast, this character that has not appeared in the comic
me.
For the past 14 issues.
Well,
now I shall flee to the moon so I may be murdered in a month.
Yeah, I was getting ready to say they had to bring the Watcher up somewhere so that they could kill him and make that crossover mean something.
So there we go. Beast is the murderer.
The Watcher?
Okay.
What? Oh, that's the original sin. That's the big crossover.
You've got to be the voice of the Watcher from now on.
yeah, that was the greatest thing ever.
Never have I ever thought that's what he sounded like. And I imagine that's how it sounds in your head all the time. So
forthwith, I shall travel back to the blue area of the moon.
Post haste,
please.
I want Richard to buy a copy of Earth X and narrate it like that. And then Jason can do the Mattbot voice for X-51. Well, and it will be the greatest audiobook of a comic ever.
Back to Orcastapiece Theater.
Oh, God, we need to do that soon.
Well, remember, I wanted to read a...
I wanted to read
Dark Knight Returns narration just to see what it sounds like being spoken.
Well,
but then
you...
they did that as a movie.
Yeah, you...
And people didn't seem to mind.
No, it was the...
All-Star Batman and Robin.
Oh, All-Star... Yeah, that's what it was. Which, I don't know, that might still become a movie.
The goddamn Batman.
But Like, it's cool. Like, all the art was cool and fine and whatever. I don't necessarily associate J. Scott Campbell and some of these other people with the X-Men. That's fine. I mean, obviously, like, Paul Smith you're supposed to. But frankly, which page was his? Was that the one of the Cyclops being crucified?
I think so.
See, I thought so too, but I don't know.
Unless they just covered up all the signatures with caption boxes. Yeah, I was going to say
they just covered everyone's
names. I don't think a lot of them signed it. I think
they covered them up with caption boxes.
So, like, for me, like, I've really enjoyed most of the all-new X-Men stuff. It's one of the books that I buy every month. But this one was just, oh, God.
Yeah, it's bad.
It's just bad. It doesn't make any sense.
If you're reading the book, you can skip it because, one, Beast hasn't appeared in the book since the ending of Battle of the Atom. And even then, like, that's only because everyone else appeared in it. Before that, I don't think he'd appeared since issue 12.
God, and I don't want Beast to be fucking Jean Grey now. Like,
how so?
Because he's like, the decisions he makes aren't really partially his, but they kind of are in the first place. And now he's going to be evil and he's going to die. And everyone's going to hate Beast forever. And these mistakes are taking place. And he's Xavier again. And blah, blah, like, everyone, like...
you mean how no character who is super intelligent in a comic book can stay good forever and they always have to have some sinister agenda?
Yeah, because you're smart, you're evil. Okay?
Unless you're Wolverine who's just up front.
Yeah, well, you know, it's just silly. It's just silly, and I don't like him. Because he's being played as the top villain, and I guess since he's in the Illuminati now, that makes sense. But
see, I don't mind the thing in the Illuminati. Like, well, I actually like the new Avengers
stuff. They should replace Beast with LeBron James.
I don't know why they don't call that book Secret Avengers, but, you know, I don't know.
That's what I thought.
But either way, like, it's just, they created a framing device around all of this art that they received. I don't think, like, I think he was, like, Bendis just called up all these people, or whoever the editor was, just called up all these people and was like, hey, you want to draw a piece for this issue? They're like, sure. And they're like, what should we draw? What's the story? And he's like, just draw whatever you feel
whatever
like.
Whatever the fuck you want, I'll make it fit.
Like, yeah, okay. Like, make, like, a crazy alternate timeline thing. And they're like, okay. So someone draws Cyclops getting crucified. Someone draws Space Nightcrawler with Space Psylocke and Space Storm.
Someone draws Jean Grey being in a real relationship with Wolverine. And it was probably completely grifted from an entire conversation of that artist. And that's how real and wonderful they are as a person.
Oh, yeah. Well, the thing was, there were two... And they were the things that got the most time in the book besides the framing story, where there were two strips by, like, independent creators, and you can tell from the art style. And I know that sounds snooty and dismissive,
but you can't.
But hey, you can completely tell because you just turn the page.
Did you pick
up, like,
the Hot Pockets? Fuck you. Fuck you.
And it's like, that's fine. It's stupid. Just, like, I don't have a problem with Box Office Poison or, you know, like, True Story, Swear to God, or anything like that. You know, Poison Elves.
But it's not going
to
be in this fucking actual narrative of a book.
Yeah. I don't...
And let alone something that's supposed to be like an anniversary reverent of, you know, the X-Men.
Yeah, I mean, like, the guy who drew the Kitty Pryde strip, the thing with Kitty Pryde and Colossus, like, I'm assuming he's a fan, but it's hard to tell because he seemed kind of over the whole X-Men thing.
Yeah.
And I thought that was the worst. It's what made me, like, hate this. Before this, I thought it was bad, but, like, I hated that because it was like one joke across four pages that was never funny. Ever. It's just like, I may have accidentally killed your sister. It's like, that's the punchline.
Oh my God, the kitty thing. Oh my God. I fucking hated
and
that.
And, you know, I like the Strange Tales anthology, and I'm assuming these are guys that, like, Bendis made friends from that.
I really just hated that because it was just stupid.
But, you know, this isn't like the Perry Bible Fellowship thing where Galactus uses Magneto as a fridge magnet. I love that. That's hilarious. But at the same time, it's also not, like, kind of presented as, like, a narrative. It's just a sight gag in the middle of, like, a weird, crazy anthology book.
Cyclops and Logan, BFFs forever. How ironic. Because they're not.
Oh, yeah, there was a third one, too, where they were super old guys and he was getting the spaghetti.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Can you pass the soup? It was, like, from the first Batman movie or whatever.
Yeah, he's at the end of that huge table.
Yeah.
I thought it was a mess. Like, I think it's bad. I think if you're reading the book and you haven't bought this issue, don't. Because it doesn't matter. It doesn't mean anything. It's pointless and it's empty and it's just utterly facile and, like, the
you
worst way
me.
Comics are and comics can be. Because, one, it's a bunch of jokes that only play to, like, continuity-obsessed nerds, but they're also not really funny. And none of the art in this is outstanding enough for it to really just recommend it on the quality of the art alone. Honestly, I thought the J. Scott Campbell pinup looked bad, but I'm not a big guy on him anyway.
Oh, speaking of art, real quick to go back, did you notice that in Nightcrawler in his apartment? Did you see the art that was...
Yeah, that they took like from the cover of Classic X-Men number one?
Yes.
I thought that was fucking hilarious.
I do think that Sarah Pacelli and Stuart Immonen should have talked to each other as to how to draw Groot and Rocket Raccoon, because like they're very different.
They're so different. Like, a lot of the characters are that way.
Sarah Pacelli drew Groot as Groot T. Robot from Mystery Science Theater because he's got a big old beak.
Mm-hmm.
And she drew Rocket Raccoon like a stuffed toy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, that works.
That always looked like he was... Always looked like he was crying for some reason, even when he wasn't, like, crying. And it's funny that he called someone else out for whining. They're like, boy, but Drax says stuff. And he's like, well, Drax doesn't sound like whining. Everything he sounds like whining is Rocket. Shut up. Shut up.
All right, here we go. Guardians, so, roll call.
Yeah. All right, so.
Yeah.
We all agree that that sucked. Now, let's move on to Happy Talk. I'm tired of all the
thing.
Oh, God.
I'm tired of all this.
Well, two more things. One, I can't wait for Star-Lord to get his movie outfit. In the comics, because one, you know it's coming because you've seen it on the cover of an issue of Silver Surfer.
Yeah.
And it looks a billion times better and less generic than the stupid fucking 70s thing he has on now.
Yes.
The blue thing.
Yeah, it's just like generic as fuck. And two, it's the worst thing they could have ever possibly done with Gamora and that Skrull shapeshifter chick was having her wear Gamora's old outfit. Because it just reminds you of how bland
the white
and red thing is and how just totally boring it is. And I know that it's less sexy and, you know, like, we should probably try to get away from that or whatever. Dude, just fill in the fucking, like, titty gap.
Yeah, exactly.
But Gamora, she was a seductive assassin. That was her whole, that was part of
like
it.
Seeing, like, a costume design by Jim Starlin or whoever versus, like, that weird fucking... mess that I don't know who designed it. Who drew that first issue of Guardians? I know David Finch did the cover, didn't he?
I don't know. Probably he designed it.
Is it really worth looking up?
I don't know.
I'm gonna look it up anyway.
Yeah, I do.
But
yeah, like, don't ever show the characters in their old likable outfits, except for Drax, whose outfit didn't change
because it's pants.
It looks less superhero-y now, which I'm fine with.
It's
whatever.
Just pants.
Yeah, it's just pants.
All right.
So Punisher.
Happy times. Happy times.
I didn't necessarily like these as much as I liked the first issue. But I enjoyed it, but I think the first issue was set up something different than we actually got from these. I'm sorry, Michael. I really do.
I don't think they were as good as the first issue, but I still enjoyed them.
That's because the first issue
was outstanding.
I thought it was fun. It was a good book. But I thought the first issue was great, and I loved it. And I thought we were going to go in that direction. But
at the same time, it takes a minute for like Rucka's Punisher to really get find its groove as well.
Yeah.
Like
I
it's
agree.
Not until like issue 7, and I'm enjoying this.
It's just weird.
I really enjoy it too.
I just really like they explain exactly why he's in L.A.
Yep.
I love the
letters pages. By the way, I hope you didn't.
I did.
Shit. Sorry.
Sorry. I know I didn't mean to, but I saw
what.
I read some spoilers in the Rucka stuff.
Oh.
Doesn't spoil everything.
No, but I mean...
I'm kind of looking forward to the possibility of the female cop being, like, a Punisher helper. Sam?
Yeah, I was going to say, are you going to see a female Punisher? Because they have a character very much like that, who actually lives in California.
Well, I mean, because...
From Rucka's Run?
Yeah, from Rucka's Run, yeah. I think she's going to be like a fucking...
Microchip or whatever?
No, well, yeah, but more like Tugs.
Hugs and Tugs?
Tugs, the military guy.
Oh, I thought you meant from the Care Bears.
Oh.
Steve McNiven. Makes sense.
Also, I know, you know, there's probably going to be comparisons with Pizza Dog. I like Loot. I like the fact that it's Coyote.
Oh, I like Loot, too.
Oh, I thought it was
cool. I think
that's,
of the three times that they've done that,
I
think it's the only time it's worked for me.
Loot's really cool. I still...
And it made a lot more sense because Punisher was there when he got shot.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Punisher is not exactly, like, against animals.
And also, okay, no, I know. I'm not saying he's, like, a fucking dog rapist or anything. I'm just
saying. Punisher dog.
And... Like, thinking of it in, like, terms of, like, a spirit animal or whatever.
Well, he even
like a
says...
symbol of who he is.
He even like, says he's more like a coyote than anything else.
Whenever, it is a coyote.
Yeah.
He said Frank is.
Yeah, Frank.
Yeah.
No, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it fits. It's not like, you know, Black Widow and a cat where it's just like, there's a cat.
Right.
He's a sweet boy. And I was like, oh, that's cute.
Um,
and, you know, Pizza Dog, who's just, like, irony as like a fucking ingestible substance. Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh.
But so this is the most interested in Punisher I've ever been.
Yeah, it's really weird to me.
Now, like, I'm not going to... Now,
I like the Ruckus.
Hang on.
What I read of it.
I've not read any of a lot of that stuff because okay, I've right. never been interested in the Punisher.
I get that. I've never... Like, the thing is, like, the Punisher is, like, a character I will read when there's someone I like writing the Punisher.
But I usually do that with any...
And book. Even then, as I like Garth Ennis. I don't love every Garth Ennis Punisher story.
I mean, I've heard really good... I've heard about really good runs on the Punisher, you know... in the past, but just never cared. And but you know, we started reading this and I was like, that's kind of cool, because obviously you know enough about the Punisher. I mean,
yeah, he's a Punisher, he kills people.
Yeah. But I really like, I mean,
and the thing is, anyone can do a good Punisher story.
Yes,
he's a character that has like a, like some of my favorite things Frank Miller ever did were with the Punisher, and I say that as someone who like is really not high on Frank Miller at all. And I think I, like, trust me, the Daredevil stuff is as good as people say. I will not continue this sentence with anything else. Mm-hmm. So,
because I isolate it.
Yeah. But, yeah, anyone can tell a good Punisher story. There's enough there for them to work with, and I think that there's possibility, you know?
And I like that, you know, he focused on the fact, I'm not killing civilians. There's no point in it. That's not what I do.
Yeah, it's not Punisher's.
I'm here to punish the bad guys.
That's that.
I still am not, like, I know they sort of pseudo-explain it, but I'm still up in the air about the whole Howling Commandos hunting him.
It's just a new unit with that name. I don't necessarily know if they're attached to S.H.I.E.L.D. or anything. You mean specifically why they're after him?
Yeah.
Like, well, they've been hired by a guy.
No, I know, but I mean,
it's just we don't know who the guy is.
Are they a mercenary group, or are they like the A-Team, or are they actually part of the military?
I'm not quite sure yet.
That was my thing, you know, because
I don't think they're receiving money. I think they're Oh, are you reading about Shudder? I was reading about Shudder.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think they're in an official capacity. I don't think they were hired.
Yeah.
I think that's why when he's like, hurry up and do this, they're like, oh, okay, sure.
I did like that sequence there at the end whenever they're blaming the Punisher on all the destruction. And Sam, the lady cop Sam, like, is looking at her arsenal in her house and pulls her badge. That's why I think you're going to get a new Punisher ally, because I think she's getting ready to quit the force.
But she puts on that Punisher ring.
Well, the memento mori that was, yeah.
Iron Fist, the living weapon, number one on whatever this website is.
Five stars. Comic Vines.
So is that user voted, I guess?
No.
It's better than Batman Eternal? I heard Batman Eternal was really good.
I really liked it.
Are you talking about Punisher?
No. Well, Punisher and Batman Eternal.
So, yeah, Punisher's good.
It's an enjoyable book. It's also getting crazier faster than I thought it would.
Yeah, like the second issue ramps it up. I thought that would at least be, you know, after a story arc, but
yeah, because it like,
went right into Marvel Universe stuff way quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, with Electro, of all people.
Yeah.
Rekka keeps it relatively, like, insulated until, like, issue, like, 11 of his run, and then, like, the most bizarre, like, old-time 70s Marvel villain shows up. It's, like, a character that I don't even really know the name of off the top of my head, but he's, like, this voodoo guy that literally has chicken feet. Who's, like, turning people into zombies in Times Square.
Papa Shango?
And, you know, like, Domino's at the end of this one. I don't really know why
she's... Yeah, Domino's at the end of this.
I don't know why she's talking to the people she was talking to, but
yeah,
it's interesting.
Yeah, that was weird, because I thought she was
She looked weird, too.
I thought she was with Uncanny X-Force.
That book's over. Both X-Forces are over, and now there's going to be a new X-Force.
What happened?
I don't...
Did Cable finally have his last migraine?
No, it already started. The new X-Force did.
Yeah. I don't know if Cable's on the team.
He is.
He is?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm assuming that Uncanny X-Force... Wait. I'm assuming that Cable and the X-Force was more popular than Uncanny X-Force.
I'm working on getting the rest of Uncanny Cable and the X-Force.
Yeah, I would like to read that story, because I was enjoying it.
I don't know. I know it ends with a crossover with Uncanny X-Force that involves Strife, and I'm just like, oh my god, guys, are we really at the point where like the 90s are like a cool thing? And we are at the 90s, we're like the point where the 90s are kind of a cool thing. It's weird.
Strife.
Yeah, you know.
I know Strife. Oh god, do I know Strife.
Yeah, exactly.
I had every issue of Executioner Song.
I bet you did.
I had all the cards.
Hey man, it wasn't hard. Any bundle of like 15 comics would have like an issue of Executioner Song or Fatal Attractions. Well, it's like the other day when I was on Comixology and like one of the recommended things from the staff was like X-Men the 12. I was like, what the fuck? Who's picking that? Like why isn't it just, you know, whatever Batman book, whatever Frank Miller book, whatever Alan Moore book? It's really like the 12. Like, that shit's outside the box, even more so by the fact that it's not good. Like, boy, is it not good.
Well, I guess the 12 sort of leads into Morrison's new X-Men run, though.
I guess in a way, but shit, just say new X-Men. Like, read new X-Men, and then anything you don't understand, look it up on Wikipedia. Except Here Comes Tomorrow, which, you know, like, there's no help there.
I still love it.
It's just fucking crazy. There's no precedent for any of that shit.
The White Room of the Phoenix.
Punisher still a recommend. Nightcrawler is good, but I can't recommend it. Pick up all new X-Men starting after issue 25. If you've lapsed like the past couple of months, you don't need to catch up because like you're just really Jean Grey is just going to have a new power that is pretty nebulously defined.
And Cyclops is in space.
Which I did like that. I thought that was cool.
It was clever.
I love the fact too. He's like, all right, peace, guys. I'm going to space. Then everybody's just sitting there like, wait, what?
And he was like, yeah,
I liked it too. I liked how they put in the whole Star Jammer.
They're like, but what?
Kitty's like, no,
and they show X-23, and she's just kind of.
She's huffed. I love that scene where they're like, where he's crying and she's like, I don't give these often, but here's a hug. It's like, it's so dumb and dorky.
I kind of like young Cyclops and X-23 together. I don't know why.
That's what I'm saying. It's so creepy that it works.
Considering that they have completely forgot that she is Wolverine's clone and not his daughter.
Right.
You know, it's fine. And I'm totally fine with that because that has always felt weird to me from the moment she was created.
Exactly.
Was that she's not just like, they made a girl daughter of Wolverine and like, no, it's just Wolverine.
It's Wolverine.
But it's a girl.
No, it's his daughter. Let's just go with the daughter.
Yeah, like, I guess it just needs to be one step separated for it not to be weird for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I also had major problems with how drastically they sexualized her when she was first introduced.
Yeah, she was so young.
Yeah, the character's meant to be like 15. And it's
NYX and shit.
Well, see, NYX, like, I guess there was a reason for it. I mean, after that, man, that's the fucking weird part. But, you know, I can't recommend Iron Fist. Other people who aren't us really like it a lot.
Yeah, I got 5 stars.
I mean, people are nuts about how, like, the flashback scenes look. The effect they did was that they tried to make the paper look old, like an aged magazine. Guys, like, an aesthetic choice is not going to trick me into think this is an amazing book. Like, this is not. Like, you can do, like, the most beautiful art in the world. Like, there are books you buy for the art or whatever, and then there's books you buy for the story. But I'm assuming, like, for the most part, we're trying to review it on a combination of both. And it's not, like, this book just, I don't like it.
I just want to reread Immortal Iron Fist now.
Yeah, I want to read something with Iron Fist that's a lot better.
That's what I would like.
You know?
Because, you know, I love
the... I do, too, because this is all I've ever read.
The mythology that they built in, what, 35 issues plus 7? Was that how long Immortal Warriors was?
Yeah.
Was...
Or Immortal Warriors is 5.
Or Immortal Weapons, rather.
Yeah, weapons. There's only 5. There's 5 weapons plus Iron Fist.
I love that mythology.
What's an immortal weapon?
Yeah.
It's something way interesting that did not come up in any fashion in this book.
Yeah. Iron Fist is one of the immortal weapons in each realm that they deal with.
The 7 capitals of heaven.
Yeah, the 7 capitals of heaven has an immortal weapon that is their champion.
And shows up and hands him more weapons.
And then there's a tournament that is held every years And
yeah, exactly. Every whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, it's and Mortal Kombat.
Iron Fist. Yeah, they have to fight and prove their worthiness to remain champion.
But see, the thing with Immortal Iron Fist was Brubaker said in an interview, like, the idea, the impetus for it came from reading an old issue of Iron Fist where they show Danny and Kunlun, and he's looking at a cabinet that has an Iron Fist costume, and he's like, what's up with that? And they're like, oh, that's the guy who was Iron Fist before you.
Yep.
And, like, the entire story spins out of, like, that one page.
And so it deals with the...
Or was inspired by that one
the
page.
The Iron Fist before Danny, and you also get glimpses of some of the past Iron Fists, which are awesome. The Chinese Pirate Iron Fist.
It's a cool fucking book.
It really
is. It's an awesome book.
It's a phenomenal book.
Like, I really can't recommend it. Ever since I read Iron Fist, I was like, I don't know. I think that's the best thing Fraction's ever going to write in his life. It's really that good. I love it.
Dang, now I wish I'd bought him.
Yeah, Fraction.
With that and not like Aja stuff, and that is just...
Yeah, it's true. Oh, yeah, the Aja.
That fucking knocks it out of the park.
It's a super fucking cool book. It really is.
It really, really is.
Like, if you can find, like, some of the hardcovers for cheap at, like, a con for, like, $3, it's totally worth it. You know, if the Omnibus is probably back in print soon, it seems, because this cheaper, shittier paper that totally is not worth writing five paragraphs about, according to another Amazon reviewer.
Even though there was an article on Bleeding Cool about it.
There's several articles that I linked to in my comment on that, because, I mean, man, if you're going to fucking shit on my review in your review, I'm going to say something, but...
Let's go, bro.
Yeah, anyway, I imagine it's easier to keep them in print with that shittier, lower quality paper that you can see through when you hold it up to a light and warps when you, like, hold it too hard. Yeah. But it is lighter, so you can hold it in one hand because that's what people do.
Apparently.
You know, like a paperback. Like, hold it.
With that's how I do it. Oh, I read
thumb
hard
in the
covers.
Spine.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally.
Ugh.
God, fucking idiots. Like, you don't read it on a table. That's what you do with a book that weighs 25 pounds. No one reads an encyclopedia holding it like this. So, yeah, that was like five rants in one. So I think that's as good a place
five,
as any to end,
five,
and leave the show.
One.
So sadly, we must leave you guys. But in the wait between episodes, there's always things for you guys to do, such as go to our website at www.planbanter.com, home of Plan Banter. You can find us on Twitter at Plan Banter, and you can email us at planbanter@gmail.com. We also have a Facebook page, facebook.com/planbanter. Go like us. And while you're liking us on there, why don't you go like Chris Kinzel Photography? And everyone be sure to check out the Twitter for Chris's photography, at Kinzel Photos. You know, if you want to listen to some music, you can find Jason's band, Clinch. At Clinch Band... and clinchmusic.com and reverbnation.com/clinch. And also facebook.com/clinch. You can also find our friends, Engineer Nerd, of tvandfilmtoys.com. You can find them on Twitter, at Engineer Nerd. And you can also listen to them on the Action Figure Blues podcast, which is found at actionfigureblues.com. You can follow them on Twitter, at AF Blues. Our friend Grey Matter Splat, Agra, at Grey Matter Splat. Our friend David, at FakeEyes22. Our friend Lemon Juice McGee, at Lemon Juice McGee. And our very special pal, Newton Gimmick, at Newton Gimmick, him of InfiniteHollywood.com, and a sometimes contributor to UnderscoopFire.com. Shazam!